Jesus' presentation at Sight and Sound, I was thinking of, while I was sitting there, a couple of the scenes, and really, it's so super professional. Broadway has nothing over them. Was the scene where Jesus heals the leper. I mean, wow, that was so moving. And then the demoniac in the Gadarenes was set free from evil spirits. Very, very powerful. Our scripture reading this morning, Jeff Mason's going to come and read. Would you all stand, please, for the reading of God's word?
In 2 Corinthians 11, 1. Paul and the false apostles. I hope you will put up with a little of my foolishness, but you are already doing that. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband to Christ, so that I may present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one who you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. But I do not think I am the least inferior to those super apostles. I may not be a trained speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. Was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches by receiving support from them so as to serve you. And when I was with you and needed something, I was not a burden to anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. I have kept myself from being a burden to you in any way, and will continue to do so. As surely as the truth of Christ is in me, nobody in the regions of Achaia will stop this boasting of mine. Why? Because I do not love you. God knows I do. And I will keep on doing what I am doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve.
You may be seated. Thank you, Jeff. It is not Halloween, but Halloween in our culture and other cultures becomes a time for considering wearing masks and costumes. People put on masks and costumes usually for hiding their identity. Masks and masquerades are designed to hide one's true identity and make them appear to be something or someone they are not. They may put on masks of animals or famous people. I remember that movie. I think Patrick Swayze was in it. I can't remember the name. They were robbing banks. Remember? Anybody? Is it just me to remember that? Point Break. Okay. And they were wearing masks of who? Richard Nixon, I think. Yeah. Robbing banks. Presidents. Yeah, presidents. Satan has a system of masquerades. Satan, the devil, is real. He exists. It's not my purpose this morning to spend a lot of time on that. All the Bible teaches this. Jesus teaches that reality. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul is addressing this. You listen to Paul's language, and I quote from the NIV translation, "Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light." Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Excuse me. Not only that, but Satan has his very own personal servants who masquerade. You'll notice verse 15, his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Let that grab you. The servants of Satan are what Paul calls false apostles, deceitful workmen. The servants of Satan wear masks, making them to appear to be servants of righteousness. That ought to get your attention. So how do we discover their true identity if they're wearing masks? Well, what 2 Corinthians 11 does, and very specifically in verse 4, it teaches us about these masquerades of Satan, Satan's servants, who are people who wear these masks. And so we need to look at the masks. We need to look at the masks to discover the real power and the person behind them. And what we're going to look at from this 2 Corinthians 11 passage are three masks that are used to hide the real identity of Satan's servants. Real masks that are used to hide Satan's servants. Here's the first one. Now get ready, because this is not going to be, well, it's just kind of a scary mask kind of thing, and we see this scary thing, and it's got to be Satan. No, we're not going there. It's far more deceptive. So here's the first mask. The mask of another Jesus. The mask of another Jesus. Listen to verse 4. It is very clear and very powerful. If someone comes to you and preaches another Jesus, other than the Jesus we preached. Did you catch that? Another Jesus, other than the Jesus that we preached to you. Not everything done in the name of Jesus is the Jesus of the Bible. In case you missed it. Not everything done in the name of Jesus is the Jesus of the Bible. It may be another Jesus that's masquerading as a servant of Satan. See, there are false Christs. There are false messiahs. Here the concern is the issue of what Jesus is being preached. What Jesus is being preached. And Satan's servants will put on this mask of, quote, another Jesus, but are actually deceiving people to turn away from the Jesus of the Bible. Deceiving people to turn away from the Jesus of the Bible and to follow this Jesus, another Jesus, wearing this mask of another Jesus, but they really represent Satan. I hope you underscore that. Now, most of us, if not all of us, are probably familiar with the many cults that deny the Bible. And I don't have to go into that. That's not my main purpose this morning. But there are false apostles, apostles being sent ones. There are false sent ones claiming that they come as teachers of God, but teach another Jesus than the one that the Apostle Paul preached and proclaimed and brought glory to. See, the real Jesus of the Bible is deity. He is God in the flesh. He is not, as some cult might say, lesser than God and brother of Lucifer. The real Jesus was born. He pre-existed. He was born. Conceived in Mary, he lived, he died, he rose again, and he will return. That's just really basic stuff. That's the real Jesus. The real Jesus is the Lamb of God who died for us. He lived and he died on the cross for us, and he's coming back for his people, and he's coming back to judge and to wage war against all that rejected him. The real Jesus of the Bible taught that there must be repentance. As sinners, we need to repent. We need to do a 180-degree turnaround from living a self-centered life to come to God on His terms. There must be repentance. He said, unless you repent, you're going to perish. Any teaching that denies that basic biblical truth of the Jesus of the Bible is really from people who are Satan's servants, wearing masks of deception that appear to look like Jesus, but they're another Jesus. Any teaching that denies the deity, obviously, is of Antichrist. It's false. Any teaching that says, come to Jesus, and you need to come to a Jesus that's just going to make you feel good. He's going to provide you with prosperity. And just name something and claim it. And this whole thing about following Jesus is just feel good. And you don't want to follow any kind of teaching that's going to talk about sin and repentance. Just come to Jesus and everything's going to be fine. And you're going to be happy. And everything's going to feel so nice. That is not the Jesus of the Bible. Satan masquerades with false teachers who put on a spiritual mask that speaks of Jesus, but it is not the Jesus of the Bible. And so I challenge you to check out all TV and radio speakers. Check them out thoroughly. Check out all the books and the magazines and the doctrinal statements and the DVDs and the CDs and everything. Check it out and find out what they are teaching about Jesus. Because one of the most deceptive masks is the mask of another Jesus. A second mask, and this one actually could get scary, and is the mask of another Holy Spirit. The mask of another Holy Spirit. Look at verse 4. And that should serve as a wake-up call. Because Paul says, and I quote, if you receive a different spirit from the one you received. A different spirit. I mean, let that settle into your thought process. Let that settle into your doctrinal beliefs and what you believe biblically. See, it is quite possible to receive another spirit instead of the Holy Spirit. If you disagree with that statement, then I'd be happy to sit down and talk with you. See, Paul here in this passage, he is addressing Christians. He's not talking about pagans or heathen or people that have rejected Jesus. He's talking to the church. He's talking to Christian people who have received the Holy Spirit. And he's saying it is quite possible to receive something that appears to be of the truth, but it is another spirit. It is not the Holy Spirit. But let me clarify. Not everything done or experienced in the name of the Holy Spirit is really of the Holy Spirit. Not everything done in the name of the Holy Spirit or anything that is everything experienced in the name of the Holy Spirit is really from the Holy Spirit of the Bible. See, false teachers, Satan's servants, they can present another Jesus and they can present another spirit. And I believe that it may be presented as the Holy Spirit, but in actual experience, it is a demonic spirit, a lying spirit, a false spirit. I hope that gets your attention. Satan knows quite well that people are open to all kinds of experiences and supernatural manifestations. But not all supernatural manifestations are from the Holy Spirit of God. Not all supernatural manifestations to be experienced are really from the Holy Spirit of God. And we must not receive them. The Holy Spirit of God always glorifies the Jesus of the Bible. Always. The Holy Spirit never, never moves us to experience anything that would lead us away from Jesus. The Holy Spirit would never lead us to experience just the experience. And that's a dangerous thing for the church. The Holy Spirit of God always leads us to bring glory to Jesus and not to bring glory to our experience. I think one of those very subtle dangers today within the evangelical church is the danger to worship. I have said that on numerous occasions. See, we don't meet to worship, do we? I mean, it's nice and we have great songs and there's some great things going on, I think, in the church, in the world today. But our purpose is to glorify Jesus and to worship Him. And it can be so easy to be caught up in the experience of the worship that we always just want to worship the worship and forget about who we're worshiping. The Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Father are inseparable. Nothing else takes priority. See, it is impossible. It is absolutely impossible for the Holy Spirit of God to bring glory to anyone except Jesus. And if it's bringing glory to anything other than Jesus, it is not of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't care how pious, how religious it might seem, how blue light it might seem, how goosebump experience it might be. If it is not bringing glory to Jesus, it is of another spirit. That's how Satan masquerades. And if some experience or teaching leads you away from experiencing Jesus, it is really a false spirit. See, Satan masquerades with his servants or false teachers by putting on the masks of another spirit that deceives people, Christians included, into receiving some experience or teaching that is not really of the Holy Spirit, but a false spirit. There are religious traditions today that the emphasis is on the tradition and not the Jesus behind the tradition. And I don't care how pious and how religious that tradition might be. I don't care how, oh, wow, look at this. Look at the grandeur of the cathedral or the stained glass or the building or the ornateness of it or the statues or the, quote, idols that are involved and the pomp and the circumstance that goes with it all. I don't care how awesome that may be. If it leads you away from Jesus, it is not of God. And I don't want to just sit here and put labels behind those things. And the Holy Spirit will show you, though, which ones would take you away from Jesus or lead you to Jesus. One other example, and I have this one in my notes, and I need to mention this because some of you are going to wrestle with the statement that I made that this can happen to Christians. In 1968, that's when I became a follower of Jesus. Most of you have heard my story. And Connie and I, my wife, two kids, living in Pensacola, Florida in the Navy, we started attending CNMA Church, just like this one denomination, because that's what we grew up in. And that church went through a lot of difficulties, and so we left. There's serious reasons behind that. And so we start attending then, if you know anything about 1968, a fantastic move of the Holy Spirit that started sweeping across the United States called the Charismatic Movement. And I'm not speaking against the Charismatic Movement, don't think that I am, because there was much of God, but there was also counterfeits. And you know, Satan can counterfeit gifts of the Spirit. And I remember a good friend of ours, their son at that time was probably about 18 or 19, and he wanted in on the experience of praying in tongues, which, by the way, I think is a very valid gift for the church. We are not cessationists. We believe it's real. Biblically, it's there. But this young guy started this speaking in tongues, and he couldn't stop. I mean, really, physically could not stop. Till later, he came to realize through counsel and direction that he had received another spirit, a counterfeit spirit. Now, again, if you want to talk about that, we'll sit down later for, not today, but lunch sometime and discuss that, okay? Because you might be, how in the world could that happen to a born-again Christian? It can. He was deceived. Third mask. The mask of another gospel. This really gets heavy. The mask of another gospel. Verse 4. That should shake us. Listen to Paul. Or a different gospel from the one you accepted. A different gospel. And in this context, he's talking about Satan's servants masquerading as angels of light. That they would put on this mask of another gospel. That gets my attention. Because I'm a preacher of the gospel. See, not everything done in the name of the gospel is really the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Bible. I don't know if that scares you or what, but not everything done in the name of the gospel is really the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Bible. And this subject is of extreme importance because when you mess with the gospel, you mess with a person's salvation and eternal destiny. You see that? See, if you tweak the gospel, you're dealing with someone's salvation and eternal destiny. So we better be sure that it's the gospel and not somebody's fabrication of the gospel. And Paul is warning us here that there can be the mask of another gospel. You preach another gospel, another Holy Spirit, another Jesus, and you have just perverted God's truth regarding salvation and the light of His way of eternal life. Spiritual darkness is the opposite of light that actually keeps people out of the kingdom of God. And yes, there are false gospels. False gospels. The most prominent one in the New Testament, Paul had to address it, the Judaizers. You read Galatians, and there Paul refers to them as anathema, cursed, a false gospel. Judaizers wanted to mix the gospel of Jesus and the Old Testament law. Chew on that one for a moment. That's not my words. They wanted to mix the gospel and the Old Testament law, and specifically, very specifically and pointed, that you were keeping the law through the act of circumcision. And Paul said, you are an anathema because you have just perverted and distorted the gospel. Those are the Judaizers. Somebody's going to accuse me of heresy before the morning is over, but that's okay. I get totally bent out of shape when I go on Facebook and I read someone says, we need the Ten Commandments back in this country. I go, oh my. We don't need the Ten Commandments. We need Jesus. And that's not just some trite, nice little Sunday sermon thought. Just as an example. If you want to put the Ten Commandments back in place of the gospel, Would you please tell me how you want to enforce, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? The United States tried to do that. You know, blue laws, Sunday blue laws were there, and you couldn't buy this and you couldn't buy that, but, you know, all that kind of stuff. I just scratched the surface, okay? There's Pharisaical legalists. They mix their own law with a little bit of the Bible. They pick and choose. Like, I use this one because it's so easy to see and visualize. Deuteronomy, you should not cut your skin and have a tattoo like the pagans. Read Deuteronomy, it says that. But it also says that men are not to cut their sideburns. So anybody that comes to me and says, man, you should not have a tattoo because that's a sin. I say, what in the world are you doing cutting your sideburns? You get it? Pick and choose, you know? Pharisaical legalists creep into the church with this pick and choose stuff. I like this, but I want to cut my sideburns because I don't want to look like some Orthodox Jew down at Lakewood. But don't you dare get a tattoo now. Yeah. I'm just using that as one simple example. You could go through all kinds of things, you know. That's the Pharisaical legalist. Then, of course, we have antinomianists. Anti meaning there is no noma law. Come to Jesus and live any way you want. That's not biblical either, by the way, right? We're not under the law, but what law are we under? Jesus' law of love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law that we're under. Because if I love my neighbor, I'm not going to cheat on him with his wife. I am not going to steal his money if I love my neighbor. I don't approach it by, I can't cheat, I can't steal, but I love him. There's a huge difference. In the Sabbath, a day of rest, read Hebrews chapter 4. Because every day, every day, every day is our rest through Jesus Christ. Not just Saturday or Sunday, but every day. But antinomianists say, come to Jesus and live any way you want. And Paul the apostle says, no, no. We're going to follow Jesus. And we're going to live the way he wants us to live. And of course, there are many other brands of false cults. And cult groups all do this. Cult leaders all do this. But look out when it creeps into the church. This and other gospel. And here's the real serious matter. And if you take away anything this morning, take away what I'm going to say next. And that is another gospel. I quote, another gospel perverts the true righteousness. Because it centers on a human-centered doctrine that is not based on grace through faith, that we receive the righteousness of Christ because it is imputed into us. That's a theological doctrinal statement, but you need to grasp that. We have no righteousness in and of ourselves, and we can't work for it. We can't earn it. It's not how much money I give or whether I keep the Sabbath or don't keep the Sabbath, whether I kill somebody or I don't kill somebody. Praise God that salvation is by grace through faith, and the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed into us. That's a good place to say amen, by the way, because that's good theology. And another gospel, see, perverts all of that and says, no, you got to be performance-oriented. It's how good and what you do and what you don't do and whether you do this or you don't do that and whether you read your Bible every day or whether you go to church every Sunday. And don't get me wrong, we need to read our Bibles and we need to be involved in church. But when it becomes performance-oriented, it violates grace through faith that the righteousness of Christ is imputed into us. Let's summarize. Satan and his servants wore masks of deception. And I've touched on three of them that I believe that are here in the 2 Corinthians 11 passage, the mask of another Jesus. There are false Jesuses. And not everything done in the name of Jesus is of the Jesus of the Bible. The mask of another spirit. There are false spirits. There are false counterfeit experiences that would lead us away from Jesus. In the mask of another gospel, there are false gospels that teach we work for our salvation, or we don't do anything, forget grace, forget faith, but there's false gospels. Have you been deceived by any of these masks? There's only one Jesus of the Bible, there's only one true Holy Spirit, and there's only one true gospel. Satan masquerades and his servants that masquerade as angels of light and servants of righteousness are very real. As a pastor, as a church leader, and those of you know that I will be retiring in a few months, that's one of my themes that I want, that when you think about me and I'm gone, to warn you of Satan's masquerades. That the evangelical church stands today at a place where we want to worship, and just come to Jesus, and Jesus is going to make you feel good and forget sin and forget repentance and forget the real Holy Spirit. Just have this goosebump experience. And I'm telling you, we don't want to go there. We don't want to go there. Don't be deceived. Let's stand for prayer. Let's pray. Oh, Father, your word is so awesome, and we thank you that salvation is by grace through faith. And we have no righteousness. Our righteousness is but as filthy rags. But it's all through what you've done, Lord Jesus. I pray that we will depend upon the truth of your word and the presence of your Holy Spirit to lead us into truth, to follow you, Jesus. As we leave this building today, let us breathe in the conscious awareness of your presence. For your glory, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen.